focus today, the textile industry. Export quotas that determined how many textiles one country could sell to another expired on January 1st. China, with its vast resources and cheap labor, is expected to benefit most from this change, affecting the industry worldwide. Shannon Mullen has the story of a U.S. textile company that is adapting to survive.
In the mid-1990s, the L.W. Packard Woolen Mill had one of the most modern textile manufacturing facilities in the world. 300 employees worked with luxury fabrics like Angora and Cashmere for L.L. Bean, Saks, and Land's End. Today, most of the machines that mixed, spun, and wove those fabrics have been sold to a factory in China. The company is down to 6 employees. Margaret Hughes has been stitching for L.W. Packard for 42 years.
Everybody in town once worked in here. As long as I can remember, when I came in, the punch clock was out there, and there was people ready to punch in or punch out, you know, and they talked to each other, and they really very well took care of each other.
These days, Mrs. Hughes sits alone in a big empty room using a 30-year-old sewing machine to stitch blankets out of what's left of the company's wool inventory. L.W. Packard is 99% closed. Workers are taking apart what's left of the machinery. It, too, will be sold and shipped to factories in China.
Now we're down in the, what we call a wet finish area. There we are. We're taking some machines apart.
John Glidden is the fourth generation to run L.W. Packard. His grandfather's uncle, Luther Packard, started the company in 1916. Back then, New Hampshire was one of the capitals of the country's booming manufacturing industry. L.W. Packard stayed in business through the Great Depression of the 1930s, when the economy went south. And the company survived over the next several decades when textile manufacturing went south, geographically, due to competition from developing countries. John Glidden says each time, the company adapted.
In the last 15 years of operation, we concentrated heavily on going upscale in our market. The bottom end, the cheap end, was getting consumed by, at that time, the Italians or the Uruguayans, to some extent the Asian markets, and we just kept going more and more expensive, higher quality, more value added, and we went right to the top of the market, but still, the facility was so large and the volume available in this high-end market was so small that it really it became unmarketable, unprofitable for us to even produce this stuff.
So Mr. Glidden turned a competitor into a partner. He signed a joint venture agreement with a manufacturer in Beijing to expand a small subsidiary company he started about 5 years ago. Minus 33 makes premium long underwear out of super soft wool. And he says the business is starting to pick up.
Hopefully, a small New England company can make some profit manufacturing in China. It's a daunting task. It's a risky task. But I think we can do it. It's our wool. It's our skills. Our knowledge still applies.
Mr. Glidden believes that Minus 33 will allow him and his few remaining employees to stay in the business, even if their product labels say made in China. In the meantime, Mr. Glidden predicts there'll be a steady loss of textile jobs. And not just in the United States.
Let's take Guatemala, for instance, that is now cutting and sewing a lot of U.S. fabric that's made in the U.S. That little country is struggling, absolutely struggling to make ends meet. Well, now they have to compete with China even more head-on. So they're going to lose business. The Dominican Republic's going to lose business. Mexico's going to be under a lot of strain. Canada's going to be under a bigger strain. So all of our nice, reliable, close trading partners are just going to have an awful, awful struggle. So the American worker is not the only loser in this free trade economy.
With the end of textile quotas and other countries poised to take over the market, some in the U.S. textile industry talk about an apocalypse. John Glidden says it's more like a long, slow erosion.
It's just like getting old. Didn't happen all at once. Today's economy is a lot of things of just digital this and digital that, virtual things. Here we actually made things, and that was a very rewarding feeling for me, and I see it's missing in the U.S. economy, and it's part of the heartbeat of this country that's going away.
John Glidden plans to close his family's mill completely by the end of the summer. I'm Shannon Mullen in Ashland, New Hampshire.